This fall, we're going through a series that we're calling Core Beliefs, and it's kind of exciting. We want to talk about some of the things that we believe as Christians and set a foundation to who we are. And this is my first time ever doing this kind of thing. I'm preaching with a team, which is super cool. There are five of us that are going to come up here and each take a part in what will be presented. And I don't know exactly where you're coming from, but maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, I know Jesus is the way, but I still feel lost. You might believe that he is the truth, but you sit there finding it hard to discern, especially on your media feeds. What actually is true? And maybe you believe that he's the life, but you struggle to find the life that God has for you. Every storm keeps you running. Every voice in your heart claims to be true. Every battle that takes place in your mind just leaves you dazed and confused. And this is where the enemies of the kingdom of God would love us to remain. A state where we know little of what God has said, leaving us captive to our thoughts and imaginations, robbing us from not only having a strong foundation, but even the revelation of what it is that we're meant to be building. So as a church family, as your pastor, I want to set you up with a foundation that no storm will prevail against, and a heart that can test its thoughts and attitudes by being confirmed or corrected through the knowledge of the Word of God. I want you to share a belief right down to the core of who you are. The large number of damaged and collapsed lives in today's church is testimony to the pressing need once again to build a strong foundation. So today we're going to begin that. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, "I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, then follows it. It's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the flood waters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it's well built." See, that's who we want to be, down to the core, with a strong foundation to build our lives on listening and following Jesus' teaching. So over the fall season, we're going to walk through a few core beliefs that we hold to set a foundation of who we are and what the church is built on. Are you ready? Okay, well, if you've got a Bible, go ahead and reach for it. We're going to open up to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. So pull it up on your phone, open that app up. Ephesians chapter 5. I felt like God put a message on my heart to share with you, and I want to read this passage of Scripture that's typically used for marriage counseling and relationships, yet I believe there's something deeper going on, not just in the natural, but in the supernatural regarding the church. The foundation of what we're going to look at today is, who is the church? Who is the church? Okay, let's read it. Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse 21. This is what the Bible says. It says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water and through the word, and present herself to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands, you ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one has ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and will be united to his wife, and the two will become flesh." Now here we go with verse 32. "This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." You remember that passage, all you married people? Right? Anyone who's been to a wedding? They probably read it in the middle of the wedding. I want to take a few moments today, and hopefully you're taking notes, right? Because people who take notes get to go to heaven. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about this thought, this picture of the bride. The bride of Christ is the church. I'm one of these people who I grew up not just around church, but I grew up in the church, right? Like, when my family went to church, it was every day of the week. 7 days a week, I found myself within the church building. And what I've learned about being in church that is if you're not careful, you can get lost and caught up in doing church, and you forget to be the church. And maybe you're here today and you're wondering, what's this whole thing with the church? It seems like everyone's excited about it and passionate about church here. Well, God came up with the church. The word church comes from a Greek word found in the New Testament. And when you say it in Greek, it says ecclesia. And I love this word, ecclesia, because ecclesia speaks about the gathering or the assembly of believers, which means the church is not a place, but the church is a people. The church isn't about where, it's about who. You and I are called to be the church. I was talking to Allison, she's my youngest, she's six, and she said this, "Dad, if we're the church, how can we go to the church? Like, that doesn't make sense." And I said, "Well, it's like going to a friend's house, right? When people come to our house, they're going to the Nadens." Well, it's actually the Nadens' house. So this building is actually called the church's building. It's not the church. It's just a building like any other building. This is the church's building, which means us, the family of God, are the church. The purpose of God's church has always been threefold. The first thing is that it is ministry to God. When we gather, we're to minister to our God. We're to praise and bless the name of Jesus. And that's why we open up our services with singing. With all of the songs that we sing, they're to praise and bless Him. It's not a concert for you and I, but it is a concert. It's a concert for God. And as much as people like me get to tinkle on the piano and play the guitar, you, the congregation, are part of the band. Your voices blend with the voices up on the stage as we perform for our King. Now, the psalmist said this, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." Remember that from our last song? "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His holy name." I want to bless the name of God because as I magnify the name of Jesus, His presence grows bigger in my life. So a question for you. What are you magnifying today? Are you magnifying the problems that you're going through? Coming to church all grumpy, sharing the woes of the week? Are you magnifying the problems or are you magnifying the answer, Jesus? See, the purpose of the church is not just ministry to God, but it's also ministry to believers. And I love this because when we come to church, even what I'm doing right now, it's called preaching. Preaching means to proclaim, and it's quite different from a lot of other things that happen out in the world. What we're doing today on Sunday, just like people all over the world right now, they're listening to someone open up God's word and proclaim the truth of God. And the Bible talks about how there's this power in our preaching. The Bible says that the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those that are being saved, it is the power of God. And here's what I love about our God. All of us can be completely different stages on this faith journey, but God is so big that He can speak intimately into each and every one of us. And as we listen and understand and talk to each other and share our stories, God speaks to us, to each of us. The third purpose of the church is ministry to this world. First, it's ministry to God, ministry to each other, and ministry to this world. See, you and I, as we gather on Sunday, we're supposed to scatter for the rest of the week. We're supposed to be the church at work, in our neighborhoods, where we play. Are you hearing this repeating theme? To be the church at school, to be the church when we're shoveling the sidewalk, reaching out with the blessed practices. It was Jesus that said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And don't you love that idea? We're supposed to be such an alive, such a focused church that we're literally rescuing people from hell. And as you study God's word, what you find about the ecclesia, the church, is that it's explained with all kinds of different metaphors. Paul uses the metaphor that we're the body of Christ, that every one of us has a function. There's a metaphor that we are the family of God, adopted to be his people. There's a metaphor that says we are ambassadors from his kingdom. See, we talk about the idea of the building of Christ. You and me were living stones being laid upon one another to form a home for our God. The Holy Spirit lives in us. Yet one of the most peculiar metaphors that's used in the Bible, and I've always found this interesting, is that you and I together, the Christians, the believers, the family of God, we're called the bride of Christ. Have you ever wondered why we're called the bride of Christ? Why is the church called the bride? Now, my wife Lisa and I, this year we've been married for 20 years. Pretty cool milestone. Yeah, 20 years. I'm excited about that. And we met in church, and a lot of good reasons to come to church, right? You can meet your spouse in church. Lisa and I met in church. We were both in young adults. I was playing the piano, kind of hiding in the background because I'm not super people person. And she was just in the crowd, and she hunted me down and gave me some good reasons to notice her. And 20 years later, here we are in a wonderful family, in a community, following Jesus because I met my wife. And my wife is my partner. She's everything to me. We've been doing life together. We have a family together. And I was thinking, it would be crazy if you came to me and you're like, David, like, I'm for you. I got your back, man. I'll support you. I want to do all the things that like, I'll be your man. But to be honest with you, I don't really like Lisa very much. How many of you would know that I kind of have a problem with that statement? Because if you love me, how can you not also love my wife? It makes the difficult relationship. And yet, how many Christians have I met that have said, well, I love Jesus, but I don't like the church? They tell me, well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Church is boring. Church is full of hypocrites. And see, if I think we would just stop and reflect a little bit more on what we're saying and understand who we are as the church, we would never say those kinds of things. Because if we're the bride of Christ, there's just no way to say, I love Jesus, but I don't like the church. That's like saying, I love you, Jesus, but I don't like your wife. See, I know you don't have to come to church to be qualified as a Christian. But if you love Jesus and you are a Christian, why would you not want to come to church? See, church is boring. Don't ever say that, because church is you and me, and I refuse to be boring. We're not boring because it's you and I. Church is full of hypocrites. Well, yeah, are you just figuring this out? You're correct. We're full of hypocrites because we're people, and people tend to say one thing and do another, even when they're trying their best. We're working on this. But that's why we gather. We are all in need of a Savior. See, Paul even said, why do I do the things I don't want to do and don't do the things that I do want to do? He's saying he's a hypocrite and he needs a Savior. And that's the guy who wrote a huge chunk of the book. But I don't come to church to be reminded of my weaknesses. I come to church to be reminded of his strength. Because my God provides grace so that I can walk out my faith. So if we take this metaphor, the bride of Christ, what does it mean for the church to be called the bride of Christ? Let's look at three different things. All you note takers, going to see you in heaven. The first reason is, well, in Ephesians 5, Paul says, this is what he says. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. And I think the first word that I want to talk about is this word, intimacy. Can everybody say that? Participation. Can you say intimacy? Yeah, that's pretty good. I really believe that the first reason we're called the Bride of Christ is because of this. God wants this intimacy with you and I. Out of all the things that we could be compared to, the metaphor that they used was compared to a bride. And I don't know if there's a more intimate place on the entire planet than the marriage bed between a husband and a wife. God is saying that's the kind of relationship that I want with my church. I want it to be that close, where everything is exposed and it's okay. Now maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, David, this is not the message for me. Like, it's kind of getting weird, dude. Like, I'm not really into God romancing me, and I'm not really into God calling me his bride. Like, that's probably because you're a guy. Like, don't worry, I get it. There's a difference between something that's literal and something that's a metaphor. A metaphor is talking about one thing in place of another to bring more understanding to it. So it's not that God wants to sleep with you. We're not going there. This is an example of what's going on. The bride is not literal. It's a metaphor. God is trying to find something really good on this earth to show you the level of intimacy that he wants with you. Because real intimacy is about trust. This last year, our church leadership is stepping out in faith. We've hired an associate pastor. Danny's here with us. We're developing a new level of leadership. We've posted 3 volunteer staff to help with the different departments of the church. We're looking for one more, so if you know someone who could help us out, we're looking for someone to help us with music. We're called to multiply our leadership, and we are well on our way. It's been a huge year of God developing and building our faith as we've stepped out into the known, and it's where God has made himself known. See, I love our church. I want your lives to flourish. I want your businesses to flourish. I want your marriages to flourish. And I appreciate how you're growing along with us as we step out. But as much as I love the church, I love my wife in a different way. In a different kind of way. Well, what if God is saying to you, I want to know you in a different kind of way? What if God is inviting you to know him in a different way, in an intimate way, full of trust? I like this idea of intimacy, right? Into me, see. See the real me, intimacy. I'm sure you've seen this in dating relationships. We date the projective self, right? We tend to marry the actual self. When people are dating, they put out the best version, right? You clean up before you meet. You put on your best behavior. You talk about the things that you like. You focus on the things that you have in common, and you date the projected self. But then one day, after you get married, you wake up and you go, who's that? Right, because the actual self shows up. And what God is saying to us is that I'm not interested in the projected you. The Sunday morning, slap on a smile, happy Christian, everything's fine in my life, you. That's not who God is interested in. He wants to know the real you. Not the church version of you, I'm into the real you. I want intimacy. I believe God calls us the bride because he wants to know us, and he wants us to know him in that intimate way, right? Husbands, love your wives like Christ loves the church. Paul will continue, and he'll say that Christ gave himself up for her, that we might be holy and blameless and blemish-free, wrinkle-free, that we would be a pure bride. And I think the first reason why we're called the bride is for intimacy. But the second, Josiah, you'll love this one. The second is for protection. For protection. Everyone say protection. I believe that God is saying that the church is protected by our Father. As you read the text, this is one of the controversial parts in Scripture, because the Bible says, wives, submit to your husbands. So notice it doesn't say women submit to men. It doesn't say women submit to all husbands. But rather it says, wives, submit to your husband. And I see a lot of women get really upset about this. But read the next part of the Scripture. It says, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Like, I don't know who got the shorter end of the deal here, right? Women have to submit to their husbands, but guess what? I have to die for Lisa. Like girls have to submit, but guys, you have to die. We both have a responsibility here. And the question is, ladies, can you be a girl who's worth dying for? And men, can you be a man who's worth submitting to? You see, Paul is writing and he's saying, Christ loved the church so much that he died for the church. Now I know you look at me and like I look pretty dangerous, right? You probably think I'm a skilled fighter, right? Totally not true. I'm not a fighter. And there's tons of reasons why I'm not into fighting. Here's one of the reasons. There's these guys who actually know moves and how to put you into submission. And I could imagine being out one night, and next thing you know, you're like, I get into some little tussle somewhere. And this guy does this twist thing, and suddenly I'm like shaped like a pretzel. I'm not doing it. I'm just not a fighter. I don't want that problem. Not at all. But friend, mark my words. If you mess with my wife, if you come to bring harm to my wife, I am prepared. I am ready by any means necessary to step into the middle and protect my wife. Because God gave her to me. She's my responsibility. I will do anything that I need to do, even die for her if I have to. And you see, this is how God loves you. He stepped into the gap so many times that we don't even know it. It's not until we get to heaven, to the other side of eternity, that we'll find out just how many times God stepped in the gap and he protected you. And that's why when you come to church, you don't have to wait for someone to pump you up. You don't have to wait for the worship team to play your favorite song. You ought to come into God's house and lift up holy hands and start worshiping God, because you know God has shown up so many times and stood in the gap for you this week. This is good theology, because right smack in the middle of Ephesians 5, Paul gives the gospel message. And how do I know that God will protect you? Because he already did it. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came and he walked on this earth and he died a sinner's death. In fact, he died your death and my death on a cruel cross. He died the death to take the punishment for sin. He took the curse of sin and when he died. Now today we get to be called spotless. Blameless, righteous, not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus has done. You're a spotless, blemish-free bride. It's called grace. He protected you. He protected me. He chose us to be his bride. Well, the first reason that we're called the bride, I think, is for intimacy. The second reason we're called his bride is for protection. And the last reason I want to look at today is that we have rights because of Jesus. Paul continues to write. This is what he says. He says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. He said, this is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ in the church. See, we have rights. We are one with Jesus. Just like a married woman will take the last name of her husband. As Christians, we bear the name of Christ. When my wife became Mrs. Naden, she had a new level of access. Right? She had access to the family car. She had access to my bank account. See, friends, it reminds me of what the apostle said in Romans chapter 8. He said, if you and I, if we're willing to share in Christ's suffering, then guess what? We we also get to share in his glory. And I have good news today for the Church of Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus, when you put your trust, your faith in him, all of a sudden you obtain the exact same rights. You are one with him. Today you are righteous, your righteousness of God through Jesus. And when you pray, according to the book of James, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So today I'm thankful that I'm not standing on my own righteousness, but I'm standing in Christ's righteousness. And you have the same rights as Jesus. When you pray, God hears the authority and the prayers of Jesus. And I want to challenge you. It's time for us to rise up like never before. I believe that the best is still to come. It's not get lost in doing church. Let's declare and decide in our spirits that we are going to be the church. Because we now know who we are. We're the ecclesia. These buildings, they can come down, but praise God, our God still rules and reigns, and we are his bride. We have intimacy. We have protection, and we have rights because of Jesus. God's calling for the church is not what happens for an hour or so inside this building. What God wants for his church is for us to be active in the world. And maybe you're sitting there and you're saying to yourself, I'm a follower of Jesus, and well, yeah, I'm attending church, but I'm not actively engaged as his church. I believe that God wants all of us using our gifts. I believe that God wants us all praying and using our faith. I believe that God wants us all reaching out, inviting people to become followers, to be active in his church. And I believe God wants us all to be engaged in life together with this deep, committed community around God's word. And so today, I want to invite you. I want to invite you to take a step forward. If you say, well, yeah, I'm here, I come, but I'm not completely engaged. I'm not all in yet. I recognize, I know there's more for me. I know that God hasn't created me to just come to a service. But God has created me to be his church, represent his love, use my gifts, make a difference in the world. So if you're sitting there and you say, yeah, I think I want to take that step, a move towards God's church, to be his church, to use my gifts and make a difference, would you then pray with me right now? God, I pray today that there would be people, well, that the people wouldn't leave this building without talking to someone and saying, hey, how can I get involved? How can I make a difference? God, I pray that there would be divine connections, that we would meet people, that we would do life together, and they would reach out and they would say, plug me in. Help me participate. I have gifts. I want to use them. Use me. I want to volunteer. I want to pray. I want to know people. I want to love people. I want to be engaged as your church. God, help us never to just go to church, but to be your church. The church for which Jesus died, showing your love all over this world. In your name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you for listening to me. I'm excited for the next bunch of weeks where we have all these different people come up and share the different core beliefs in our church. Not just we are the church, but all kinds of other things. Communion and salvation and covenant and these amazing words that God has defined to who we are. But before you go, if you could split into your groups again, I want to talk about this. Here's the question I want to throw up. We'll throw it up on the screen. How are you valuing God's bride by serving his church? So if you could, pray for each other. This is altar ministry, where we lay hands on our friends and we say, God, would you use them to do mighty, wonderful things? And talk about how you are participating by serving his church. Amen? Go for it. Break into groups, and from there, have a wonderful week.